Welcome to episode 57 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. This episode is a recording of a February 2024 WordPress Accessibility Meetup where Michaela Letterman, Senior Accessibility and QA Lead at Atten Design Group, explores the intricacies of Web Accessibility Initiative, Accessible Rich Internet Applications, a critical tool for enhancing the web experience for users with disabilities. WordPress Accessibility Meetups take place via Zoom webinars twice a month and anyone can attend. For show notes, a full transcript, and additional information about meetups, go to accessibilitycraft.com/057. And now, on to the show.
We have a speaker, Michaela Letterman, who I'm going to pop up here real quick so everyone can see her as well. So welcome, Michaela. Michaela writes and speaks about accessibility and inclusive digital experiences. She has completed a number of accessibility trainings and is certified as an IAAP Web Accessibility Specialist. Michaela uses her professional background and her passion for inclusivity to bring awareness and solutions to digital ADA compliance as Atten Design Group's Senior Accessibility and QA Lead. So welcome, Michaela. We're really excited to have you here. I'm going to stop sharing my screen and then I will let you take over sharing. Let's see, maybe. We do have the Q&A panel available. So if you have any questions during the meetup, if you can please post those in the Q&A, we will take them all at the end.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me today. I'm very excited to talk with all of you. I've been seeing where everybody is from in the chat and it seems so exciting. Thank you for coming from all over. I'm from the Boston area. I saw that there was another Bostonian around. So with that, I do apologize if I talk really fast because I do that when I'm excited and I'm just an East Coaster that's just always on the go, go, go. But I will try to slow down. And if anything pops up and you need me to slow down even more, just let me know. But we can jump right into it. So welcome everyone to Do More with Less ARIA. As mentioned, my name is Michaela Letterman and I'm the Senior Accessibility and QA Lead at Atten Design Group. I am a certified web accessibility specialist through the International Association of Accessibility Professionals. I've been with Atten for over 7 years now, and over Atten's 23 years in service, we have been providing strategy, design, and development to mission-driven organizations. We have been working with Drupal and WordPress for over a decade, and we contribute to the projects in every way that an agency can. Since 2000, we have been working with some of the most mission-driven organizations in the world. We were founded to do work that matters. It's how we attract the clients we want to work with. It's how we attract the team that we need. And it's one of the reasons I joined this team 7 years ago as a front-end developer. And if you have any questions throughout the presentation, feel free to leave them in the Q&A or in the chat box. I'll most likely just be addressing a lot of these at the end. I will have some time to do that. I'm actually hoping we can have a little bit of an open conversation, even if it's through the chat, look at more examples. As I'm sure a lot of you know, ARIA is super in-depth. I'm sure we could do a week-long presentation on it and still not cover everything. So I am going to do my best to kind of cover all the high levels of what we're going through today, and then ideally maybe have a few examples and go from there. So let's dive in. So an overview of today's presentation, we'll be talking about what is WAI ARIA. We'll talk about the 5 rules of ARIA. We'll talk about roles, states, and properties, as well as some of the most commonly used ARIA. As I mentioned, today's presentation is not a complete in-depth look at ARIA, as there is so much to learn regarding this amazing feature. However, it should absolutely help you understand why we have it, when to use it, some basics on how to implement it, and hopefully a desire to learn even more. So let's jump right in and talk about the general basics and background knowledge of ARIA, or well, technically we should be saying WAI ARIA. This is the technical name. However, as we all know, it is not the common name. Everyone knows what we are referring to if you drop that WAI, but the purpose of this first bit of information, I do think it's important to include. So WAIARIA stands for Web Accessibility Initiative, Accessible Rich Internet Applications. ARIA enhances assistive technology interaction of web pages in ways that plain HTML just cannot do, especially with dynamic content and advanced UI controls of the websites of today. Very important to remember that ARIA just conveys information to assistive technology. It does not change functionality for a user. It is solely made for users of assistive technology to gather more information about what is happening on the page, but what to expect as websites have become more and more dynamic and more interactive. Because remember that classes, IDs, and visual styling is never conveyed to a screen reader user, so we must convey this in a different way. Support across browsers and screen reader combinations is overall really great, mostly. However, as we know, there are so many ARIA features, and there are so many browsers out there, so many assistive technology combinations out there, that some things just work better than others, and some other ARIA features may not be the best to use nowadays. ARIA can be targeted within your CSS or JavaScript. So similar how you would target a class from that you're putting into the HTML so you could style it the way that you want, you can actually do that with ARIA as well. So it may be a good way to maybe instead of doing an active class on a main navigation, you're using an ARIA current equals true and you're targeting that in your JavaScript or in your styling or anything of that sort. So you're not adding all this extra code and extra bulk. ARIA is made up of three main components: roles, states, and properties. And we will be going over a lot of this later in the presentation. But before we can really dive into more detail and specifics about ARIA, it is important to remember that when using ARIA, make sure you follow the five rules of ARIA according to the W3C. But even before we jump into that, it is very, very, very important for everyone to remember the golden rule of ARIA. That no ARIA is better than bad ARIA. If you learn anything today, this is it. I know this sounds pretty counterintuitive, but too much or incorrect ARIA can actually create a worse experience or even a completely inaccessible website. We will learn more about why it can be so bad and how it can create such a terrible experience. And I see this all the time with our accessibility reviews because at Atten, I do a lot of auditing and accessibility reviews from sites that were built elsewhere, where the developer was just trying to be good about digital accessibility. They know that they need to include alternative text, that contrast needs to work, and that ARIA means accessibility. So they're adding it everywhere on everything, when in reality, they're doing that. And now they're making a lot of functionality and a lot of information just doesn't make sense and it doesn't work as intended. So definitely remember that no ARIA is better than bad ARIA. It is better to work without the extra context than it is to be completely unusable, where someone maybe can't focus on the right element, or they can't interact with an element, or they can't check that checkbox or submit that form. Okay, so I got that out of my system. You're probably gonna hear this at least three more times in this presentation. So like I said, if you learn anything today, this is it. But because we've jumped into the background, now we can talk a little bit about the five rules of ARIA to help you implement ARIA correctly. And the first rule, before you use and include any ARIA in your code, you must use native HTML elements or attributes first. And this is for two main reasons. The first reason is because ARIA overrides original HTML semantics or text content that is being conveyed to assistive technology. So I have this example on the screen. It's the split screen between some code as well as the visual side of what that code is outputting. And the code here is just a heading 2 with a role button on it. And the inside of that, it just says, I am an H2 with a button role. That's the text within it. This is kind of an issue because the role equals button is on the heading 2 element. So now this heading 2 is no longer being conveyed as a heading, but being conveyed as a button. So it's being taken out of the natural hierarchy of the page and is only being shown as a button when we want it to be a heading 2. Ideally, if you're going to be overriding any HTML like this with an ARIA role, then we just want to make that element what you're making the role. So this new example here is that same split screen with the same content. I am an H2 with a button role. However, it's a heading two with a button within it. So now it's both within the heading two normal hierarchy of the page. A screen reader user can navigate and look at all heading twos on the page, and this will appear. But it is also now a button element, and it will fall within the button elements on the page, and the user can easily jump to that. It has the default styling with the gray background and the black outline, and now it looks as if it should be a button. So it's following, the visual side is following the programmatic side. I have another example here as well with that split screen. So we have the code on top that is a link with an ARIA label that says, click this link. However, there's text within that link as well that says, I'm very important text that needs to be read to a user. If we look at the visual side, you can see it looks like a link. It's blue, it's underlined. A user would know that it's a link. However, if you were to look at the accessible name here, a screen reader user would actually only hear this as, click this link, because that's what the ARIA label is saying. It overrides the actual text within the element. So by adding that extra bit, you're actually creating a worse experience in this instance. The second reason is because assistive technology users expect consistent interaction patterns and audio feedback from components. It is important to remember that assistive technology users require this technology to properly interact with your page. We must be following the expected patterns and audio feedback they were taught when interacting with components. For reference, the general pattern is tabbing to all interactive elements and widgets. So you're going to tab, 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 tab. But when you get to a widget, for instance, like a menu, a list of radio buttons, slider of images, or tabs, it is now expected to use the arrow keys to navigate between each element within that widget. Or if someone is interacting with a checkbox, for example, they expect to hear if the checkbox is checked or not checked, which is automatically done with the native HTML. Going outside of these norms can be detrimental to the user experience. Think of it as if someone sent you a web page and now you have to read it from right to left when you're a left to right reader. Sure, you may learn to do this eventually, but do you really want to? Probably not. You will just go elsewhere to find that same information, and it's a pretty similar experience. Here is a simple example that I actually see quite often. So this is just a code example. It's a link with an ARIA role button with text within it that says, I am a link with a button role. It also has an href on there. That's just the pound symbol. A lot of times you'll see pound one as well. But I see this one a lot because it's being conveyed to a screen reader user as a button, even though it's a link, which you may not think of it as an issue. However, the way a user can interact with these is completely different. Links use the enter key to interact with it via keyboard and other assistive technologies. Buttons must allow for the enter key and the space bar to interact with it, according to WCAG and W3C. This can be detrimental to a user who always uses the space bar to interact with a button, for example, and then they're hitting the space, 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 because they heard button, so there's space bar, and it's not doing anything because it's actually a link. It didn't change the functionality of the link to a button. It kept it as a link. It's just being conveyed as a button. Just remember that links take a user to a new location, such as a new web page or a new section of the current page from like a jump link, hence why it has that href attribute. Buttons trigger some action, most likely using JavaScript, such as showing content on the page that was previously hidden. Maybe you're playing a video or submitting a form. A good rule of thumb, if you are putting an href on your link that is a pound or a pound one, it probably needs to be a button because you're not taking them to any location. And if you change the semantics to assert specific role, like we talked about before, then it's probably just an element to begin with. So this ARIA role button on the link should probably just be a button element, as I have here in the code, which is now just a button element that says, I am a button. So if you find you're overriding certain semantics, you should change that element. And of course, don't forget, no ARIA is better than bad ARIA. I'll make sure you don't forget this during the presentation. I do want to say I saw someone ask for the presentation. I'm pretty sure the slides were sent out. They still need to have all the alternative text added to the images. I just didn't want to leave everybody hanging if you did want to follow along in the slideshow. So I did want to make note of that before we move forward. And the second rule of ARIA is do not change native semantics unless you really, 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 really have to. I could have filled up this entire page with an infinity amount of reallys. So what exactly is that really, really have to in reference to? And well, almost never. Basically, you shouldn't be doing this. It actually took me a very long time to think of a good example for this. The only example I could even think of was an email template. And this is because email templates, for some reason, are still built in tables. That's just how our email clients create them. That's how they send them. That's how they're interpreted. So they have to be done in email templates. However, as we all know, tables are a terrible user experience for most people using assistive technology. So it would probably be the only time that you're going to be changing the native HTML. And I hate putting this one on here. However, I do think it's important to say, just because I'm an agency and coming from the, like, of course, need to balance time, effort, money, and so on, is when you're retrofitting a site for accessibility upgrades. The ideal solution is always to start over and make the change as needed, but sometimes that's just not in the cards. So if you can make sure, if you can override and make these things work correctly, and you get them approved and reviewed and user tested by an accessibility expert as well as actual users, and everything is good, then that's fine. But if you do not have that capability, I definitely recommend not retrofitting the site, not overriding, and making sure you're using the HTML semantics. So I mentioned the emails as before. So here's a screenshot of an email template that I have. It's just from Litmus. It's one of the basic ones that we use. Basically, what you're seeing here is the code of a table. And then one thing with email templates is it's always a table within a table. There's always more tables within those tables. And it's just a lot of nested tables. Like I mentioned, they need to be built in this way. So there's really no way around it. So the ideal solution with all these tables within tables, even looking at the code, if you're able to see this, it is a lot to take in. I can't imagine having to listen to every single table, cell, and everything going on. But by adding that role presentation to each table element on within your template, it then makes the table non-existent. So basically, it's just using the table as structure and not conveying any of those semantics to the user so that they can focus on the content within, like the various images, headings, paragraphs, links, and so on. This avoids forcing a screen reader to read each cell of your table one at a time, and then a table within a table, and then it's just chaos. So it helps the subscriber get straight to the important information. And like I said, I think this is the only time I would ever recommend overriding the overall semantics. So the third rule is that all interactive ARIA controls must be usable via keyboard. If you create a custom widget that a user can click or tap or drag or drop or slide or scroll or anything you can imagine, a user must be able to navigate to that same widget and perform an equivalent action and get an equivalent result using just their keyboard. All interactive widgets must be scripted to respond to standard keystrokes or keystroke combinations when applicable. This is because all assistive technology actually uses keystrokes to interact with in the back end. Even if the user's text is not actually a keyboard input, they're still using that code base in order to make it work in that way. And of course, not only must it work via keyboard, but it must also follow the expected patterns an assistive tech user would expect, as we talked about in rule number one. And it is important that we remember that ARIA has nothing to do with keyboard functionality. Again, I'll say this one a lot as well. It just provides the semantics to the accessibility APIs. It's just conveying information. It's not changing the functionality. That being said, it is the developer's responsibility to make any custom controls accessible with the keyboard by using JavaScript and other coding techniques. And that's where rule number one comes back into play and why it's important to use native HTML elements. I honestly have never come across in any of my years of being a developer having to create something so custom that I could not leverage native HTML and just make it kind of like look slightly different. So really, like, even think radio buttons, for instance, can end up changing to a toggle. They look different, but they do the same thing. So like, it's a very simple example, but it's one of those, like, try to leverage the HTML as you can.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. A WordPress native tool, Accessibility Checker provides reports directly on the post edit screen. Reports are comprehensive enough for an accessibility professional or developer, but easy enough for a content creator to understand. Accessibility Checker is an ideal tool to audit existing WordPress websites, find accessibility problems during new builds, or monitor accessibility and remind content creators of accessibility best practices on an ongoing basis. Scans run on your server, so there are no per-page fees or external API connections. GDPR and privacy compliant, real-time accessibility scanning. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to a paid version of Accessibility Checker to scan custom post types and password-protected sites. View site-wide open issue reports and more. Download Accessibility Checker free today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any paid plan.
And four is do not use role presentation or ARIA hidden true on any focusable element. This is another great example where ARIA is just conveying information to a user, but it doesn't change how it functions. If you add ARIA hidden to an element, especially an interactive element, a user can still see the interactive element, but will not be able to interact with it because they're not able to hear it. So it's not within the screen reader DOM of what's going on, the accessibility API. You're removing a functional feature, but not that, like, not only that, just remember that not all screen reader users are non-sighted. So we want to make sure that visuals line up with what a user is hearing. A lot of times it could be someone that may have low vision that still can see the screen fairly well, but uses that as just reinforcement to navigate. It could be someone like my cousin Emily. She had Duchenne muscular dystrophy and she had very limited mobility. And by using a screen reader, she was able to kind of navigate as she could, because a keyboard kind of stinks if you're only using a keyboard to navigate, because you have to tap, 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 tap. There's no easy way to skip around. But if you're using a screen reader, you can jump to heading twos, to links, to buttons, to lists, and so on. So it's a great way for other users just to be able to jump around and navigate a page quicker. Or it could be someone who maybe is dyslexic or maybe some kind of reading impairment, that hearing it and seeing it at the same time just really reinforces what they're learning. So you want to make sure if it's hidden to the screen reader, it's also hidden to a visual user. Otherwise, there's going to be some kind of confusion in that instance. So role presentation versus ARIA hidden true, what exactly is going on with these two? What are they? Well, ARIA hidden true, it removes the entire element from the accessibility API. It makes it non-existent to the assistive tech user, but is still visible to a visual user. Great times to use this one is maybe drop-down menus when the menu item is not open. So once the item appears, now it's an ARIA hidden false because now it's open. Everyone can see it. Otherwise, it's hidden true because it's no longer being seen. Same with accordion panels. When it's active and open, it's great to have it there so you can see what's hidden and what's not. Or slideshow elements that are not currently visible. You want to make sure that no one is able to access those so there is no confusion. When it comes to role presentation, this one's different because it's only removing the semantic meaning of an element, but it does not hide the element from an assistive tech user. So think of it with that email template and table from before. It didn't necessarily hide the whole element to the user. It just got rid of the meaning for it. So it is a great way in that instance where it would work. It's also helpful maybe if you're hiding decorative images or banners that really don't do anything except for maybe break up content, or it's just visually just to break up content or just to support content, but doesn't necessarily convey important information. This one I do get a lot. I remember talking about this a lot from some of my developers early on. It's like, okay, so then when do I use role presentation? When do I use ARIA hidden true? When do I use display none? When do I use visibility hidden and so on? So those were kind of the four big ones. So I did create this little table, very straightforward. It has four columns. There's one for each one for role presentation, ARIA hidden true, display none, and visibility hidden. And then there's three rows here for hidden to a visual user, hidden to a screen reader user and changes semantics. There's an X in each one that conveys like what is actually happening. So for role presentation, it changes the semantics. It does not hide it to a screen reader user, and it does not hide it to a visual user. Aria Hidden True does not change the semantics. It hides it to a screen reader user. It keeps it visual. It does not hide it to a visual user. Display None and Visibility Hidden both hide it to a screen reader user and a visual user. It's completely gone to all users. It does not change the semantics. It's just not displaying it for anyone. And then the main difference even then from Display None and Visibility Hidden is that Display None completely removes the element from the web page layout. However, Visibility Hidden only hides the element but keeps its position intact. So Visibility Hidden is a great one. For example, if you have animations on like a dropdown or an accordion and you want it to have that up and down kind of animation, Visibility Hidden is a great time to use that because then it still keeps that position, so it can use that animation. The Display None will just not show it anymore, so it could be a little confusing on that side. And the final rule is that all interactive elements must have an accessible name. So what does an accessible name actually mean? Well, an accessible name means that there is a label or name that the accessibility API property has a value. I always say this as programmatic or name or something. You probably heard me say that before, programmatic and visual. And basically, it is what is conveyed to a screen reader or assistive tech user when you interacting with this element. So you may be asking, how do I know what the accessible name is or see the accessibility API to confirm this? Well, before I explain anything in the screenshot, I'll explain the screenshot after, but before I explain anything, I do want to make note that I did make changes to the site straight in the browser in the inspector tab. So this cannot be replicated if you go to the Atom site. However, it is a great example to kind of show exactly what I'm trying to convey here. So to elaborate on what we're looking at now, this is a screenshot of the Atom website. This is on the Firefox browser. I have the inspector tab open and we're on the accessibility tab. So I'm looking specifically at the register button. And if we look under the accessibility tab under properties, it actually has an area that says name. So you can see the visual button says register, but the accessible name under properties is actually register for component-driven website redesign webinar. And you may be thinking, this is cool, it's very descriptive, but I don't understand how we have that name versus what I'm actually seeing. There's no real connection between what the accessible name is and the visual side. So this next screenshot is the same thing that we were just looking at, the Atom site on Firefox. We're looking at that register button. The inspector tab is open, but now we're actually looking at the HTML of the page. And what I have here is that it's a link with an ARIA label on it that says, register for component-driven website redesign webinar with text inside that says register. And as mentioned before, an ARIA label will override the text that is visual. So the accessible name came from that ARIA label that now says register for component-driven website redesign webinar. You may think that this is a great idea because it's giving a lot more context. You actually know what you're registering for and this and that. However, this can cause issues for those who require speech input to navigate, for example. They may say something like select register button because that's what they see. But now this has an accessibility link of register for component-driven website redesign webinar. And then this can be an issue because the accessible name and what they're saying and what they're seeing are not the same, and there could be some weird little bits there. So we just want to make sure that ideally the accessible name is what you're seeing or what is being conveyed. So examples of various types of accessible names. One is content or text within an element. If you have a link or a button or anything of that sort and the text is visible and there's text inside, that is automatically going to be the accessible name. Unless you have an ARIA label, which as we know, will override the text within. Or if you have an ARIA labeled by on that, it will actually override the ARIA label if you happen to have both on there, which is now overriding the text. So you need to make sure you're following that kind of flow, that obviously if you're using ARIA, it's going to be overriding the native HTML. It could be the title with an SVG is also the accessible name. Alternative text on images are considered their accessible name. And labels on inputs are also considered the accessible name. So a great example that I have here, it's another split screen where there's code examples, and then there's also the visual examples of what we're seeing here. These are checkboxes with labels that say label text. I kept it very simple. I didn't go anything crazy here. There's three examples. They all look exactly the same on the visual side, but on the coding side, it actually is set up slightly different for each one. The first one is a label that wraps the input and the label text, which is appropriate. That actually works. It will create the correct accessible name. The next one is an input with an ID on it with an associated label that points to the ID. So now we have that working as well. And then the last option is surprisingly something I see a lot is an input. And then there's a span that just looks like the label, or maybe it's just a label, but there's no for attribute on it. Those are two options that I see a lot that can obviously cause problems. So as you can see from a visual side, it doesn't really create much of a difference. However, if we go to this next slide, This next slide, I have this little video here that is displaying what it's like as a visual user using your mouse interacting with the label text in the checkbox. So what you may be seeing here is that we are hovering over each one of the labels, and two of them get that little hover change. One of them does not, and that was the one that was incorrect with the span. Now that's important because if it's associated correctly with labels, then you can click on the label, which gives you a bigger click area, target area to interact with it, less chance for error, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can't click on it, that should probably be your first notice that, I don't think that this has an accessible name. This is not communicating directly with one another. So you want to make sure that this is kind of an easy test for the labels to input. So again, you can click on the label, it's probably the accessible name. But of course, I always recommend looking at the accessibility API. This is a screenshot of that same exact page, and we have the code open. We went to the inspector tab, opened up the accessibility tab, and we are now looking at the accessible names. So for the first two inputs, the accessible name, as it is displaying in the accessibility API, is saying label text. Great, it works. We have the accessible name. But if we look at the screenshot of the last one, which was the span that looks like a label, but it's not actually done correctly, the accessible name is null. So as you can see, there is no accessible name, which means it is missing. It's not done correctly. It needs to be done correctly. You need to fix that. So those were the five rules of ARIA. There's a lot going on. I'm trying my best not to speed through it. So I hope you are kind of following because there is a lot to take in. I see there's a lot of discussion in the chat. Hopefully nothing you need clarification for me quite yet, but we'll see. But role, states, and properties, the main three features that make up ARIA. Let's talk about those. So when I talk about roles, roles define what an element is or does. Most HTML elements have a default role that is presented to assistive technology. So a lot of times you don't need roles at all. So and maybe back in the day before a lot of this was common practice, you would have to add like a heading to with a role, like a heading as well, and like, or an input with a role input button with a role button, but that's not necessary a lot of times nowadays. States are, ARIA states are attributes that define the current condition of an element. So it could be like a, if it's true or if it's false, if it's hidden, if it's not, and so on. Properties define additional semantics not supported in standard HTML. This property extends the standard button to cause a screen reader to announce that it's a button if activated, if it triggers a pop-up, and so on and so on. Many times you'll actually be seeing states and properties grouped together because a lot of those actually just rely on one another. So as we move forward in this presentation, we'll just kind of be grouping those together. I'm not going to separate those ones out. So when we talk about roles, as I've said a few times now, adding a role overrides the native default role semantics of the element. So if you put a role button on a link, it's going to be considered a button to assistive technology. We want to make sure that you are never overriding that. There are six role types. Just note, I will not be testing you on these. I'm not going into full detail about these. So I'm just here to let you know that there are six role types in case you want to test yourself later. Document structure, there's a widget type. There's a landmark type, a live region type, a window type, in an abstract type. As I mentioned, I'm not going into detail about these because a lot of them can be a little abstract. They can kind of like, they kind of make sense to go here, but maybe not here. And some of them are actually being removed because they're just pretty like they're in native HTML. You don't really need them in there. And there's just not a lot of examples for them. So I'm not too worried about it. Just remember that these are added to provide more context or more semantics to what the user would already expect with interacting. Some good examples of roles that I would recommend or would look at, or not even recommend because I probably wouldn't do a marquee very often, but these are the ones that I tend to see fairly often. So for the example, it's just a list of what we're looking at here. It's a role equals menu, role menu item, role tab, a tab list, tab panel, presentation, alert, marquee. So here's just some examples of various roles that we might be seeing. I do want to make it known that many roles need to be nested correctly within other roles. For example, there's the tab, tab list, and tab panel here. You cannot have a role tab on your page without it being wrapped within a tab list. You cannot have a menu item without it being within a tab list. And it's just one of those things. So if you are going to start using some of these things, it's definitely worth looking into some of the more details about them. However, these are some of the common ones going on there. So if we're looking, this is just a screenshot of some tabs from one of, I think it's the Aria Patterns website that's great for examples. I'll send off that link later on because I do think it's helpful to take a look at some of those. But we have four tabs. It says Maria, Carl, Ida, and Peter. And Maria is active, and there's a bunch of text in there for the active state. So each one of those names, Maria, Carl, Ida, and Peter, those would all be tabs. They'll each have a role tab, role tab, role tab. The whole grouping of those buttons would actually be the tab list. And then the content that it's displaying when active is the tab panel, which you connect via, I think, Aria control so that there is something going on there. I'm not going to go into too much detail about how to create a tab list like this necessarily, but overall, just know you can't have that tab without the tab list. And the information that's showing must be the tab panel. So they are all associated together. And states and properties. States and properties convey information to the user about what to expect or what is currently happening with the interaction or relationship of the element. There are four states and property types. There's a widget type, live region type, a drag and drop type, as well as a relationship type. And again, I'm not going into detail about these. I'm not going to test you about them either, but I just do want to say it's because a lot of them just fall under the global ARIA attributes. Many states and properties just apply to all HTML elements, regardless of whether an ARIA role is applied. Some can only be used on certain roles or certain things. So we just want to make sure that most of them are global ARIA attributes and they're supported by all HTML and all roles. Some examples of common ARIA properties and states that you may see are things like ARIA has pop-up, ARIA expanded, ARIA required, ARIA live, ARIA labeled by, and ARIA current. As you can see here, we have a lot of these here. There's an ARIA has pop-up true, expanded false, required true. We have ARIA live polite. We have an labeled by that's pointing to an ID and a current page. Many of these, they're all starting with ARIA hyphen, which is important because it's a distinction from the role. And many of them are true and false. And a number of them can also allow for element IDs. Some of them can allow for pointing to multiple IDs, and they can even give more context that way. Or ARIA current, for example, there's like page, there's step that you can use for like breadcrumbs or steps in a form, time for current events, and so on. So it's a great way to just give even more context to what's going on without necessarily overriding anything important. Oh, I think I saw someone put in the patterns website. I definitely recommend taking a look at that. It's always very helpful, and there's some great starting points for looking at some of those patterns. So we went in a deep dive and tried to cover as much as we could about the basics of ARIA. So let's jump into some of the more commonly used ARIA and some of the more helpful to know. As I mentioned, we're not going through everything. And if you're confused at all, just avoid it. Start learning more. Start coming to more presentations. Start learning a little bit more of this. So I do think it's important that like some of these are important, but obviously if it's kind of going above your head, then please learn a little bit more before you start using them. But these are some of the easiest ones that I think it's to understand, and I think it's important to talk about. So as I mentioned, these aren't everything. These are just some of the important ones that I do think we should talk about. So ARIA label, which we brought up a couple times. ARIA labeled by is another common one that you may see a lot or use a lot. ARIA described by. ARIA current is one that you should leverage. ARIA has pop-up. ARIA expanded. And finally, ARIA Live, which I really hesitated on adding to this one because that is like a whole presentation in its own. But I do think it's important to at least touch upon so you can learn a little bit about it and at least the basics of it. So that if you are interested in it, then you can start learning a little bit more and kind of diving in that way. So let's talk about ARIA label. Well, as we've talked about this a few times, it's a string value that labels an interactive element. It can also be used when a landmark, like a navigation or maybe a header, is used more than once on a page. You want to avoid overriding any visible text with ARIA label, as that takes precedence over it, as we have seen in some past slides. Some examples of when you would use this is when multiple of the same landmarks are used on the page. Navigations is a great one. A lot of times headers can be used in article landmarks and even sections that if there are multiple of those, you want to make sure there is a little bit more distinction to them, as well as buttons or links that might be icons. So you want to be conveying a little bit more information. So this screenshot here, it's not super detailed code. I just want to do something very simple, but it is four different navs that you might find on a page. There's a nav ARIA label main, nav ARIA label secondary, nav ARIA label breadcrumb, nav ARIA label footer. This is great to just give a little bit more information because if you're a screen reader user and you're just navigating, you want to know about all the different navigations on the page, you don't have this ARIA label. You actually are just hearing that there's a nav, a nav, a nav, and a nav. However, if you're adding the accessible name to it with the ARIA label, you will hear that it's a nav main, nav secondary, nav breadcrumb, nav footer. So you can really jump to the navigation that you're really looking for. But a common example that I see a lot of times is this one. So this is another split screen. It's mostly code with a little picture at the very bottom. I hope you can see it. I feel like it's pretty small down there. But the visual side are just some social media icons. I also prefer the little Twitter bird still. I don't know if I'm ready to go to the X. But we have a nav that's surrounding it in the code. So it's a nav ARIA label social. And then we have a list within that because it's a list of items. And then each link is going, obviously, the Twitter icon is a link, the Facebook icon is a link, and the Instagram icon is also a link. There is an ARIA label in each one of those links that says, like, link tag, ARIA label Twitter, link tag, ARIA label Facebook, link tag, ARIA label Instagram. And it's a great way to convey that information that people already associate with those icons to confirm that there is an accessible name. And then another great example that I see all the time when using an ARIA label is maybe the hamburg icon, as we'll call it, for the mobile menu. That icon that's the three lines, usually sometimes it's a two, but that's what opens the mobile menu on your mobile device for a website. That could have an ARIA label on it because it's probably an icon that just says toggle menu. Some people get a little crazy and then they'll inject JavaScript in there to be like open and close. And depending on what it is, they'll add it. I don't find that to be necessary because you're probably going to be using some other ARIA that we'll talk about in a second that also conveys that information, but it's a great way to at least give a little bit of information about what's going on. Could also be like a close button on a modal window or something of that sort. And that's ARIA label. ARIA label by is another common one that we see. ARIA label by enables authors to reference other elements on the page to define an accessible name. The attribute can actually target multiple IDs. And I mentioned this before, but ARIA label by takes precedence over ARIA label if both are set on an element. So if you put both of them there, only the ARIA label by would be read. It would not use the ARIA label because that is a higher precedence there. This is a great way to use maybe with accordions, tabs, in that tab example we had before, or even a table structure, but more so not like a basic table structure. Those obviously have already, you should have table headers that are already giving that information. I'm talking about those complex tables that are a table within a table within a table that you need that information and sometimes you get lost, having that accessible name will actually help with the ARIA labeled by. So I have this screenshot, and all that it is an accordion element. So we have a personal information one that is closed and a billing address that is open. And the billing address just has a form within there. This is a great way to maybe have the open area, so the form within it, labeled by the button that's opening it so that there is a little bit more context. So this next screenshot is of the code that is creating that. So there's a lot going on here. It's just the accordion group. I did highlight a little bit more just with the red outline that we can see there is on the div that's holding the form that opens and closes, that hides and shows. There is an ARIA labeled by that is pointing to the button that triggered it. That way, when it's reading all the information here, it's reading about the accordion panel, it can actually point to the button and say that it's labeled by the personal information so that there is an association that you know that this content is part of the personal information area. Another one is related to tabs. We've looked at the same screenshot from before. It's that same tab structure with Maria, Carl, Ida, and Peter, and Maria is active. And this is great that maybe on that tab panel, there's an ARIA labeled by pointing to the Maria button so that we can know that all the content within there is associated with the active element. And I have a screenshot here of the code of that same thing as well with it highlighted on the tab panel that's active that says ARIA labeled by tab 2, which is the button for Maria. And I also got this example from Mozilla because I was trying to think of a good way to bring in multiple IDs. So you at least have an example of how to do this. So this is just a heading 2 with an ID of ATTR. The heading 2 says 13 ARIA attributes you need to know. And it has some paragraph text and a link within there and an ARIA labeled by on the link. So it's actually pointing to itself. It has the ID of the link. It says RM13 is the ID of the link, and then a space, and then the ID of the next element you're looking for. So it has two IDs in there, so it's pointing to that. And then this would actually end up being read as read more 13 ARIA attributes you need to know. So it has an accessible name that's a little more descriptive, and it's all visual there. So what's the difference between ARIA label and ARIA labeled by? And this is a common question that I get. So let's break this down very quickly. The important thing is they both provide an accessible name for an element. The main differences though, is that ARIA label is used where text that labels the element is not visible. If there is visible text, it should probably use an ARIA labeled by and you can point right to it. The ARIA label, of course, the accessible name is found directly on the current element, and the ARIA labeled by is pointing to other areas for the accessible name. So those are really the two main differences between the two. As mentioned, if it's visible, use ARIA labeled by. If it's not, use ARIA label. So ARIA described by is another great one that I've seen used a lot. It lists the IDs of the elements that describe the object more than just its accessible name. It's used to establish a relationship between widgets or groups and the text that describes them. So it's not labeling them, it's just describing what's going on. Think of it almost as a caption. It must reference content strings in the DOM. It can be visible or not, but I'm emphasizing content strings. If you're starting to, you want it to describe with like other images and this and that, there's other ARIA to use for that. But also at the same time, it can be a little much to deal with that. So try to keep the ARIA described by fairly simple. Some great reasons to use it might be complex images and infographics. Obviously, if it's a complex image and infographic, alternative text isn't enough. Sometimes the caption associated with it still isn't enough because it could be a lot. Maybe you need to point it to some other kind of information that's important or maybe a little bit more. So then you can also describe it in a different area as well. Some other ones are tables. Again, if the caption just isn't enough that goes with the table, you can obviously point to other important information that could be there. I don't know why that didn't show up, but the last one I also wrote was steps in a form is also a great one. So if there's something important there, then we definitely want to be focusing on that. The example I have here is another split screen. There's some code and there's the visual side. The code has a button with an ARIA described by. And my ring light is in the way to see what's going on. The described by label it's pointing to is trash, DESC. And it says move to trash. That's what the button says. However, there's also the helper text that says items in the trash will be permanently removed after 30 days. That's important text that a user should probably know about before they move whatever they're using to the trash. So by adding this ARIA described by and pointing to that paragraph text, it can be read as move to trash, items in the trash will be permanently removed after 30 days. So it's an announcement that's very important that will be read to the user out loud so that they actually also know that if they do this, there's going to be complications or they're going to be saved or whatever you need to do. Another good one that we see here is ARIA current. This is great to announce an active state in a group of related elements. So I already talked about this one a little bit because I do think this one's a great one to use on your site. It's great on like your navigation, on breadcrumbs if you use them, maybe a multi-step flow, or even tabs, or even a calendar or events. So like I said before, when a group of related elements, such as several links in a breadcrumb or a main navigation, one of them is usually styled slightly different because they're active. So we want to make sure that that visual active state is also being conveyed to a screen reader user. So by doing that, you can use an ARIA current true or ARIA current page. And now it's also going to be conveyed of what is actually current. And as I mentioned before, you can also target that in your CSS or your JavaScript. So you're able to still, you don't have to add that class. You can just target the current state and to go from there. So I did bring up a few other examples that there was more than just true and false. So for example, we have an ARIA current page, ARIA current step, ARIA current location, ARIA current date, ARIA current time, ARIA current true, or false. So it's a really great way to be able to just say kind of what's going on and giving a little bit more detail. Obviously, true and false is the bare minimum, but you can get a little bit more detailed if need to. I have a code example up on the screen here. So we have a nav element that says ARIA label breadcrumbs, as we mentioned there, because we want to make sure that that nav has a little bit more information there. There is an ordered list within that, and then three list items. Each list item has a link within it. So there's a link home, a link parent page, and a link current page. And I have added the ARIA hyphen current equals page on that last link item. So now I can style it as needed, but also it's being conveyed to the user that this is the current page that you're on within the breadcrumbs. Another one that I see pretty often is ARIA has a pop-up. It indicates the type of a pop-up that can be triggered by the element on which the attribute is set. It does not use JavaScript to inject any attribute changes, but JavaScript is probably needed to ensure that the pop-up element is keyboard accessible and has correct focus after the fact. So it's not necessarily directly related, but I do want to mention if you are using this, you will probably be needing JavaScript in some way. It's great for when you're going to be triggering modals or dialogues, as well as menus with drop-down menus. So I have this little screencast here on this next screen, and this is just an example. I don't even remember where I got this example from, honestly. I think it's just GitHub like pages or something, but it's just the mobile menu icon. So when you're clicking that, on the visual side, in the code element, I have it highlighted on the button that the ARIA expanded true and false, you can see is kind of toggling back and forth, but the ARIA has pop-up is just true. And true defaults to menu in most instances. So if you do want to get more details, you'll have to add the different types that are there. However, it's giving an alert that's telling the user that it's expanded or not, and that it has a pop-up, and the pop-up is a menu that will be coming forward. The next one is ARIA expanded. ARIA expanded tells a user if a control is expanded or collapsed and whether or not the elements are displayed or hidden. It is added to the focusable interactive control that toggles the visibility of an object. You must use JavaScript to inject the Boolean changes and perform the expand or collapse function. So you must be using it to change from true to false or false to true. Great examples of using ARIA expanded is an accordion. It could be a drop-down menu, or a mobile menu, for example. In this next example here, we have a little screencast. This is, again, just a screen recording from the Patterns website so that you can kind of see at least what's going on there. And the visual side is showing that I'm clicking on personal information and it opens and then it closes. And then I click it again and it opens and I click it again and it closes. In the coding aspect, you can see on the button that I am clicking, I have it slightly highlighted. I know that the Zoom might make it not as great quality or anything, but the button has an ARIA expanded on there that is toggling from true to false to true to false, depending on if it's open or not. So that's what I'm saying. You need to use the JavaScript to inject that change depending on what is happening there. And finally, ARIA Live. Again, I kind of hesitated talking about this one today as it can definitely be abused. There's a lot to it. It's a lot. However, I do think it's important to at least bring up because it's something that I feel like a lot of websites probably need because they're probably not doing page refreshes with searches. They're doing like auto filtering and this and that, and they're causing all of these major changes on a page that we can see as a visual user looking at the page. However, someone who's relying on just sound to navigate, they may not know of all of these changes happening on the page. They're not going to notice an update. So this section is probably a whole presentation in itself, like I mentioned, but I do think it's important to talk about. So ARIA Live, it's used to announce to screen reader users of changes on the page that are visual, but does not announce it to a user. So we'll go into some examples with that, but it's something that we can probably, like I could see as a visual user. However, not everyone will necessarily know if they can't hear that change. This is very important to remember that ARIA Live must be set on an empty element on load. You cannot have it on like a random element that's like capturing an entire page or an entire this or an entire that. It has to be empty on load. Yes, you may test it out on like Safari VoiceOver and be like, oh, this works perfectly on this whole thing. Yes, sure, maybe it works, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it works in all instances, in all browser and assistive tech combinations, that it's not going to work for everyone, that it might be an overload of information. So this is best practice to make sure it is empty on load. You must use JavaScript to inject text about the updates on the page in the empty element. So like I said, it's empty on load. If something changes, you're going to put in some text in there to announce to the user that something has changed. You want to keep the notice short and succinct while also still describing the page. Kind of sounds like that balance with alternative text, like how much content do we put in there? How much do we do that? But it's important to remember that this content is only read once to a user, and they cannot replay that information. So any of these live attributes, so I think I saw someone wrote in here, like what's the difference between a live and alert? They're all pretty similar, and I kind of mentioned that in the next slide, but it's still the same thing. It's only read once to a user. It cannot be replayed, and it will not read very, very long strings. It kind of just cuts off at a certain point because at that point, the user probably just wants to keep going and kind of figure out their next steps. So you want to keep it nice and short, nice and succinct, but still give the information that you're looking for. So a couple examples that you might see with ARIA Live is ARIA Live Polite. That is my recommended one. It indicates that updates to the region should be presented at the next graceful opportunity, such as the end of the speaking of the current sentence or when the user pauses typing. This is the recommended setting, as it says, because it's polite. Who doesn't like a polite person, a polite dog, a polite baby, a polite screen reader? It waits for the screen reader to finish talking before announcing the next change. ARIA Live Assertive indicates that the updates to the region have the highest priority and should be presented to the user immediately because it's time sensitive. You want to avoid this unless absolutely necessary. A great way to maybe use this, or similar to an alert as well, is the ARIA Live Assertive is saying like, this needs to be, your attention needs to change to this now. So a great one is maybe your time is almost up in a form and it pops up and it's gonna say, you have 1 minute left. You wanna hear that because you wanna know your time is almost up or anything like that. Like that's the time you want to use it, is when someone needs to know. And then finally is ARIA Live Off. This indicates that updates to the region should not be presented to the user unless the user is currently focused on that region. So if you're making other changes on the page and you're higher up, but you're not in the section that is also changing something else, then we don't want to know about that. If the focus is within that container, and then you want to know a little bit more. It's also a way to just turn it off. If, for instance, you maybe have a lot of ARIA Live on there and it's super annoying, maybe you offer a button to turn it all off so a user can kind of just pay attention to what they want. Could be a good way to do that. Keep in mind, there are plenty of other things, like ARIA Atomic is kind of like ARIA Live Polite. I honestly don't really know the difference between the two. I just kind of stick with the tried and true. And even certain elements that have their own announcements, like I said, that role marquee automatically alerts as you go on. But for the sake of this presentation, I did want to bring up these main ones. So here we have an example of ARIA on a visually empty div. It's a div. It says it's visually hidden. A lot of times we do it visually hidden just because it's kind of being replicated elsewhere. And it has an ARIA live equals polite. And once something changes on the page, we insert some quick text in there. So now this is still, nothing about the ARIA has changed. It still says ARIA live polite. But now there is text in there that says there are now 3 results showing. I love using this for searches and filters for that instance, so that a user who will click the button to filter, and then if it's not a page refresh, if it's using like Ajax or JavaScript, this way a user will actually be alerted that something has happened. Otherwise, they could just click the button and kind of just wait, like, what's happening? I don't know what to do. And you have to kind of explore to see if things have changed. So this is a great way to announce that. I have an example of ARIA Live in action. So we have the visual side of what's going on and the code side as well. And this is just a simple search. So you're just searching for your flight departures from Tampa. So we have an ARIA Live Polite, and I have to hopefully it starts over. It's currently empty on load, and my mouse is displaying that and highlighting that. I'm typing in Boston into the search bar, and I search that. And now the ARIA Live Polite has list updated with 6 items. So I'm going to change it to New York and search by that. And now the list is updated with 14 items. So this will be announcing to the user that things have changed on the page. And of course, that was quick. Like I said, we can go into a lot of detail about all of this. Some of it could be overwhelming. There's a lot to talk about. Just remember that no ARIA is better than bad ARIA. If you have any questions or concerns, maybe take a step back and read a little bit more. Maybe you can get it tested or anything like that, but try to keep it simple. Honestly, a lot of the ARIA isn't necessarily there unless needed, unless you're doing something super custom, which again, not sure is a very common place for most websites out there. But of course, if you find yourself still confused or asking what your next steps are, that remember, myself and Atten are here to help. We believe in giving back to the community, like doing informative webinars like the one I'm doing today. I also do free consultations, which you can sign up for on our website. And then I just kind of go through 30 minutes and we talk about your website together. We look at automated reviews. We do some manual testing together, and we come out with a couple actionable items and possible next steps if that's something that you're looking for. We also do a lot of webinars for ourselves, not necessarily all accessibility based, although I find I'm doing a lot of them. There are also developer heavy ones, Drupal, WordPress. It could just be more back-endy, front-end, design, marketing. We just like to talk, I guess. So we have a lot of those. And then of course, I have included a few of the webinars that I really like from the past. So this is a great resource that if you're looking to learn about anything, there's some good ones I think in there. Maybe it's not usually good for more beginners, which I'm sure many of you don't really need, but it might be helpful to have. So thank you for having me today. If you want to chat after this, my email is michaela@atten.io. And with that, I'm hoping we have some time to chit chat or go through questions or whatever. So I'm going to not share my screen anymore and go from there.
Sounds great. Well, thank you. That was fabulous, Michaela. I don't know if you can see them, but we're getting lots of party emojis and hearts and clapping. So
yes,
good job.
I can see a bunch coming through. And I did see a lot of chats coming through, and I tried to like look, but it was kind of hard. And I don't want to like give up too much time. So
yeah, no problem. So we'll run through some of the questions. And if anyone does have them, and you can put them in the Q&A module, that's where I'm going to reference first. I think mostly there wasn't too much in the actual chat, but we'll look at that if we need to.
Okay.
So you may have answered the first question. David had said that he would love to see your other accessibility trainings. Is there a location where they're all published? And I guess the reference would be checking in your slides, which we shared the chat.
The slides help, or you can end up going to the Atten YouTube channel because we record all of them and they're on there. I will say not all of them are professionally transcribed or anything. So there's auto transcripts that are added with it, but there's that. And then obviously if you need something more from me, I'm happy to send anything else.
Great. Well, thank you. Okay. So someone asked, and I think this is going back to when you were talking about semantics for elements. So CTA buttons that take you to a new page, quote, learn more or whatever, should be categorized as a link in ARIA, not a button, which I think is a common mistake we see, especially in some page builders in WordPress. They do that where they add role button because it visually looks like a button. So could you talk a little more about that?
Yeah. So the general rule is that when you're going to a new page or going to a new location, whether it is a page or it is a, an on-page link. So if you're adding an href of any sort, that should always be a link. But buttons just use JavaScript. So I know that it looks like a button. We have this from the design side as well because people love the look of buttons so much, but it does cause some confusion. So best practice is still ideally to use the link because you're going to a new page and you obviously want it to work as needed without JavaScript. Let's say JavaScript just didn't work that day. You want to make sure it's working correctly. So using the link, don't override it with a different role. And obviously that's going to cause some confusion. And ideally make it look like a link over a button, but I understand I'm also a designer, so I understand why buttons are just way more appealing from a CTA standpoint. So it's kind of like fighting that weird battle there.
Yeah. From a design standpoint, do you ever do anything where like your CTA link buttons are slightly different in design from literal buttons? Do you feel like that's important to do or not really?
Do you mean like maybe so it doesn't look like a button? A lot of times we'll do like a CTA
like maybe
button
some
has
of
like
them
an
are
arrow
rectangular
or something.
And some are round or pill shaped or something like that. Do you ever do that kind of thing to
so
visually
we try
distinguish
to
them?
Keep things somewhat consistent. However, we do have like some patterns. So like CTA buttons, a lot of times we'll add like an arrow or an icon, but mm-hmm. it still looks like a link, but not a button. You know what I mean? Like so you have a slight variation. Mm-hmm. So there is like some kind of consistent pattern. However, it's not necessarily like. In design, you always learn like it needs to be like a drastic change kind of, otherwise it kind of looks like a mistake. So like having like square to rounded isn't necessarily enough to indicate enough of a change. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that helps answer that question.
Yeah. Okay. So Alice had two. The first one says, when using an automated checker, I see that ARIA is used. How do I, as a non-code person, know if it was used incorrectly? Besides, you know, obviously the things that you've presented here, do you have any other resources for someone who's not a developer to know if the ARIA is right or not?
That's always a tough one. And honestly, if someone else has a great answer or an easy one for that, I would love to hear it. I mean, I love to look at the accessibility API, and I know Firefox has the great option there. Chrome has a good one as well. But some other automated tools do a better job at calling out some ARIA. So I know Axe does a great job with calling out like, oh, this ARIA looks like it's not right.
Suspicious.
However, it's not. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it won't tell you it's wrong, but it might give you a better direction. But like I said, if there is something that someone else knows about that they want to tell me, I'm all in. But that's the only one I can really think of where it's at least saying like, hey, this doesn't look right. But
so I would say, on my end, I would always recommend turning on a screen reader and mm-hmm. listening to it beyond just reading the HTML. And one thing that came to mind when you were talking about, you know, different roles and things like that, which we could maybe, if there's time later, look at it. I was thinking about how in the WordPress block editor, the settings panel, some of the different ARIA attributes that have been added to buttons and things to group them like as radio elements. And I was testing a third-party plugin, and I noticed that they're basically groups of settings. Like you could choose the heading level that you want for your heading. So they should function as a radio because you can only have one heading level, right? But they had added ARIA to it to make it like a toggle button, and then they were toggling pressed, ARIA pressed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I was listening to it and just thinking logically, this doesn't make sense because this implies that on the H1, you could press it or not. And on the H2, you could press it or not. And right, because it's not saying that these are all related.
Yeah.
But until I really like turned it on and listened to it with the screen reader and thought about it, I was like, this seems suspicious. I don't think this is right. And then I was listening to it and I was like, no, this doesn't make sense. So I feel like using a screen reader is probably really important beyond reading the HTML.
Yeah. I always recommend if you can, because I know screen reader can be very overwhelming for some people and there's definitely a large learning curve, especially if you know someone that's using a screen reader, they are obviously professionals and can whip through it and tell you exactly what's going on. So if you have access mm-hmm. to someone that is a frequent user, that's always helpful as well, if it's overwhelming for you, because it can be a lot. That's why I didn't include any noises today, because it could be a little overwhelming for some people.
Mm-hmm. So then the follow-up question I think that Alice had on that was, what resources do you have for learning more about HTML accessibility? Are there courses that you've recommended or things that you found helpful when you were learning all of this?
So when we say HTML accessibility, are we just, sorry, I think I just need clarification. When I think of HTML accessibility, I'm thinking more like semantics and hierarchy and stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
I'm guessing maybe that's what Alice is referencing, because she had said that she wasn't a developer, so just trying to learn more about like the behind the scenes code.
Well, I am more than happy to, I would say definitely recommend looking at a couple of the webinars that I have, because they are a lot of times geared towards some of our clients who are not very dev heavy, and they are looking for like creating an accessible hierarchy, creating accessible content, and just some of those very basic ones, that might be a good start. There's a lot of resources out there that I'm actually blanking on any of them, because I feel like there's so many. I feel like I have a bookmark full of so many things, but if you have one in particular that you're thinking of, I would love to hear it, or anyone really, but there's just so many. Mozilla, W3C, the patterns that put in there for me is always helpful. And
I think if anybody has them and they want to throw them in the chat, we can definitely include links when we post up the recording. I would say if you go on the IAAP website for the certifications, they have different courses that you can take that are independent of mm-hmm. them, like some from DQ and some other places, to prepare for those certifications. And even if you're not planning to get the certification, I think on the CPAC one, it does do, and the WAS, mm-hmm. there's going to be some courses that might teach you more about the HTML, not like expecting you to be a developer, but knowing how to evaluate the HTML.
That's a good recommendation, actually. I like forgot about that. The DQ one was really good, honestly. So
yeah, you did the DQ course.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And on that note, I totally forgot during events to call out, I'll put a link in the chat, but AxeCon is DQ's free conference, and it's happening this month, February 20th, I think is the first day of it. It's virtual, it's gonna have sign language and live captions and all that kind of stuff, and it has many tracks, design, development, everything. So if you go to deque.com/axe-con, then you can get information about it. I highly recommend that too as a learning resource. Gary asked, what should be the best practice for semantic React JavaScript/React Native component using Aria?
This is a fun one that I've actually been pushing for a webinar with one of my developers for a while, because this is something that comes up all the time. So overall best practice is you're wanting to try to still import like the normal semantics and try to keep with that. But obviously with React, it's everything is happening fast and it's all JavaScript is moving in real time. That's where like the Aria Live becomes fairly important, because, or I know that we implemented like page refreshes in some instances that will still help announce some changes if it becomes a little too much. But I think part of it is you may have to take a step back and see how much is changing and what is changing, because it can be a lot. And then making sure, obviously, that your Aria Live is being done correctly in announcing what is needed, and not, I remember looking at one that had it right on the entire React element, and it would just like say so many changes all the time, all at once, and it was not helpful. So I would say take a step back, take a look at what you have, make sure you're actually keeping it as simple as possible without going too crazy, and then implement page refreshes and or Aria Live correctly. But please look more into Aria Live. Like I said, I hesitated even talking about it, but I did. So
but
here
we are. It's important, especially for all like that and any sort of like searching or filtering kind of thing, or things like add to carts.
Oh yeah.
When you don't change the page, like telling someone, okay, it got added to your cart.
Very true.
Okay. Winnie asked, which is some of the best scenarios to use role equals group? Is it acceptable to use it on static elements, interactive components, or both?
I honestly don't know. I don't think we use a lot of role groupings very often. I'm trying to think, because a lot of time groups of elements are probably within other groups. So like lists or like a field set and with radio buttons and or like form elements and stuff. So per usual, I always try to use more of like a list element or a native element before going to Aria in general. So I wish I had a better answer, but I try to stay away.
I know. That ties in with what you said, right? Which is mm-hmm. that it's better not to always use Aria. So, yeah. Deneb asked, how do you balance the need for the visible name to be the same as the accessible name with the best practice of not having a link in the middle of the page with standard text like read more, where there are other links of similar text going to different articles, for example?
So I want to make sure I'm answering this correctly. You're saying best practice to avoid having like multiple of the same links, all saying read more and so on and so on.
I think specifically what he was asking was because you were talking about sometimes if for voice control, mm-hmm. if the visible name doesn't match the accessible name, it can cause problems. So how do you balance that out?
Well, I personally always push as the accessibility person, not necessarily a designer. I'm sure I'd fight back as a designer, but a lot of times we actually implement so a bunch of CTAs instead of having the heading teaser text and then a link that says read more, learn more, go here, whatever that final button is. We actually end up having the title itself be the link and we don't actually have that read more. Otherwise, if we have it there, it's not the true link, but we use JavaScript to make like the whole thing clickable. That makes sense. But the link itself is the heading. That way we can kind of keep it simple. It's a little less work. We know the accessible name. And honestly, it's better for SEO. It's going to be better for a lot of other instances as well. And it's just one less thing to think about.
Yeah. So I was just talking to, I don't know if you know Brianne Breitveld from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. She's an accessibility consultant there. But she's going to do a presentation for us in June. Yesterday, I was talking to her about it on voice control. I don't know a ton, but one of the things she told me was that she recently discovered in different voice control assistive technologies that you can actually have it number all the focusable elements. And instead of having to say that, you could say, go to four or click four.
Which is definitely helpful. Yeah.
if in the instance where it doesn't match, I don't have experience with this. So that is what I heard from her. But I'm hoping we're going to learn a lot more about that in June, which will be very neat.
Yeah, that will be a good one to go to. Because again, I don't have a lot of experience with it. My cousin used it a little bit, but I mean, that was also like, I don't know. I don't even know what year it is. Probably 10 years ago. So like things have definitely changed since then. So yeah.
James asked, when you add an Aria label to the register button, this might be along the same way. What's the actual register now for the component? He said, I might have missed this. What is the alternative approach to making register provide context while meeting a reader and speech experience? I think this is kind of related to what we discussed.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let me skip down to Simon's question. Simon asked, do you know of a way to code or style the select native HTML dropdown element so that its layout and usage are consistent across desktop and mobile web browsers? Mobile browsers like iOS Safari don't respect some styles on select tags, and Simon has had to build Aria widgets to make them look and behave the same across browsers, but he'd rather use HTML. Do you have any thoughts on this and the styles and how they look?
We always have thoughts about this one. This is always a big one. So part of this is, unfortunately, sometimes consistency, as long as it still works the same and at least looks somewhat the same, it doesn't have to be perfectly exactly the same browser to browser. So that's an important thing to remember. I know from a design standpoint, that is like one of the biggest, like the biggest icks that you can have out there. We are able to usually style like the main select, but we never style like the actual dropdown itself. We let the browser default do that. We've used other plugins and stuff in the past. Like I know Chosen was out there, very inaccessible. Do not use. Maybe they've changed since then, but I'm not really sure. Select A11Y, I believe, was another one that actually was very good for making it a little bit more consistent. So I would look at that plugin. But overall, just basic styling and sometimes some JavaScript to override some of that while it's like you're clicking this label, but it's actually clicking like behind the scenes. But I could definitely get more information from one of my developers to share some of the stuff that we do to make sure that that works correctly. I just wouldn't have that on hand at this exact moment.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder, it's interesting, like talking about consistency across browsers on the same website, first thinking about it this way, which is being consistent across all websites in the browser. So maybe it's not a problem that they don't all look the same in different browsers. If the user is used to using a certain browser and they're used to dropdowns looking mm-hmm. in this way, and you were to style it, like you were to make the Firefox one match the Chrome one, it might look odd to them because they expect it to look like the way they see it everywhere else.
Exactly. Almost. And that can throw off a lot of other users that, again, like cognitive issues, perhaps, that may be expecting certain patterns and now are no longer following those patterns. So overall, we like to use browser defaults, maybe like add some tweaks if need be, but overall, let them kind of let the browser run with it.
Yeah. So we have just a few more minutes with our captioner. So I'm going to try and do like lightning round and see if we can get through these quickly.
Try my best.
So all right, Iris asks, is changing the role equals presentation a good fit for an iframe with poor accessibility? Can you put role equals presentation on an iframe?
I would probably not do that. I would probably have a note that this isn't accessible or a skip link of some sort to skip right over it or maybe not include it at all.
Okay. Someone asks, an ARIA label for icon links, would alt text on the icon be sufficient?
So alt text for an icon, if you have the title on the SVG or you have the alt text on an image, those also count as that. I just like to clean it up sometimes for the ARIA label to have consistency or so a content editor can inject what they want for that label as well.
James asks, when you use ARIA describe-by on a button, does that have any impact to speech or does the ARIA describe-by only complement the button text? James has heard that ARIA described by has an impact on speech. Is that right?
I'm not sure what the impact on speech would mean. If maybe you're saying like it overrides it, from
voice
my knowledge,
control
it
maybe. Oh yeah, actually, I don't know. Maybe they mean speech of the screen reader.
I wish I had more clarification. I can't do a rapid fire answer for this one without knowing exactly what that is. Please put it in there.
It will impact how the screen reader reads it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And of course, it's different screen reader, depending on the order and stuff. But describe by is just a good option to have, but not necessarily something to always rely on.
Okay. And Simon asked, how do you deal with content referenced by ARIA label by and ARIA described by being announced to assistive technology users multiple times? Once when they focus on the item with the ARIA attributes, and again when they focus on the reference element themselves, do you think that's a problem?
I don't think it would be a problem because I feel like, I mean, I'm not a user, but some of the screen reader users, for example, that I have worked with and are friends with, they tend to just go quickly through the site. They're not looking at everything altogether. So they're just trying to get the information that they need. And maybe, of course, every user is different. So maybe that doesn't matter. But I feel like a little bit of redundancy would be fine because that labeling is going to be important to make reference to what you're currently working on. Hopefully that made sense.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Okay. So I like this next question and we had a little bit of chat. So maybe we can go slightly longer on it if you want in your answer about it. So I'm going to preference this. So Simon asked specifically about your opinions on the details and summary elements and whether that can be a replacement for accordions that have like ARIA expanded and things like that. And I don't know if you saw, because it was while you're talking, that there was some conversation in the chat about using this. And in fact, in WordPress's 2024 theme, there was a pattern, which I've opened an issue and I want it removed, that uses the details stacked, multiple of them as an accordion, because there's no heading support, which I think is important for screen reader users. So I would love your thoughts on this. I think Simon would too. Do you have thoughts on that details and summary, and what would need to happen to them, or can they be used as accordions?
Yeah, that's a great one. And that's been something we've talked about as well in some other platforms. Details and summary, I mean, it gives the appearance, it's a native accordion basically. However, the main difference is that the summary you had mentioned, like, I don't even know if you can put headings in there as well in general.
I think you can in the summary, but not in the details tag. Or wait. Yeah, sorry. The summary is the one that opens it.
Yeah. Okay. So the details part, that is only technically allowed to support text elements. So if your accordion elements are going to be holding images or videos or anything of like that, then this technically should not be used at all. So that's kind of my big thought. We like to use accordion solely because we can give that flexibility. I think details and summaries are great for certain things, but not necessarily all instances of accordion elements. Hopefully that. Yeah.
And I think that was all of our questions. So thank you so much. Can you remind people again if there's a place on social media they can find you, or...
So yes, the best way to get in touch is probably my email, because I'm a millennial woman, but for some reason I'm not very good at social media. So I would not do that. I do have a Twitter account. I look at it once a year. So like, again, I wouldn't worry about it. I would probably email me. And then that way I do have lists of resources. And then if you had any specific questions, especially if you want me to talk to some of my devs and get a couple code examples, I'm happy to do so. We would love to share some of that. And a lot of that has been reviewed. We're partnered with the Blind Institute of Technology, and they've been reviewed there. And so that we know that they are working appropriately. And obviously, if there's feedback, we'd love some feedback.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.